May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our epistle lesson, including these words. St. Paul writes, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So far, our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, today we continue our theme from Wednesday evening's service as we discuss light and darkness. On Wednesday, we remembered that calling into forth light was the first of God's creative acts. We were reminded that Jesus Christ calls himself the light of the world. And we were reminded that Jesus calls us the light of the world, as we reflect his light to others who are crouched in darkness and in the shadow of death. But this morning we want to focus in on St. Paul's words to the Ephesians and seek to understand what it means to walk as children of the light. And by contrast, what it means to cast off darkness, to cast off the unfruitful works of darkness. Darkness, St. Paul writes, is our former state, the way of unbelief. Some of you can perhaps remember a time or a period in your life when you were not a Christian, where you had wandered from the faith in some way, or maybe you had taken a path or made a decision that was contrary to God's will. These periods are referred to by Paul as darkness, the darkness of unbelief. But no matter how long or short that time may have been in which Paul's words ring true, for at one time you were darkness, that time is past. I speak to you as Christians, as the body of Christ, as those God has moved out of darkness into the light, so that you would now cast off the unfruitful deeds of darkness and walk as children of light. But what does Paul mean by these unfruitful works of darkness? Of course, some such works of the darkness are very obvious to us. We would certainly classify things like murder or adultery or theft as works of darkness. Indeed, many such crimes are committed under the cover of darkness. The less light there is, the less chance someone will see some dastardly deed being committed. A perpetrator doesn't do things in the light, but seeks to conceal himself in order that he will not be caught. Many cities have areas that you do not want to be in after dark because of the increase of violence that happens at night. Darkness conceals evil. As St. Paul says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." But other works of the darkness are committed in broad daylight, are they not? For example, think about these pyramid schemes that you hear about, where the life savings of unsuspecting investors are sucked dry, transactions carried out in the daylight, but in secret that money just goes to pay off other people. Bernie Madoff comes to mind. Or what about abortion clinics, open during the day, open in the daylight, as they murder the unborn? Or what about children whose parents are kept in the dark about some disgusting so-called sex education lesson at school? Or even worse, are not informed that their children are undergoing gender reassignment? There are many dark deeds in this world that are just flaunted before our eyes to such a degree that even Christians can start to wonder, well, maybe those things aren't so dark after all. But what does Paul urge us to do? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. Paul says the church has a duty to expose the works of darkness, to reveal them as darkness. Our witness to the truth of what is good and what is evil must be clear It must be proclaimed not to satisfy some judgmental aspect of our psyche, but to actually show people what the darkness is so that they may turn and repent and come into the light of Christ to receive his forgiveness. But works of darkness are not just out there, not just out in the world. In Ephesians, St. Paul is speaking to a group of Christians. He is warning them, and therefore also us, to avoid the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul enumerates some of these dark deeds just before our reading this morning in Ephesians 5, 3 through 5, when he writes, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." But I would argue that the unfruitful works of darkness go beyond just those things that we would obviously identify as wrong or evil, the key word there being unfruitful. Think of activities that maybe aren't particularly good, but they're not particularly bad. They're just unfruitful, useless. We live in an age of constant distractions from social media, streaming services, video games, sports, consumerism, you name it. And while, of course, all things are okay in moderation, so many of these distractions can cause our daily lives to be unfruitful, to neglect the things that are important, families, our church, the needs of others. But praise be to God that we are those who have, as St. Paul says, been exposed to the light of Christ. We are visible. We are seen by the world as Christians, as God's people, becoming ourselves light in the dark world. The darkness is dispelled by the light of Jesus. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Our lives are different, aren't they? The lives of Christians are different than those that we see around us, set apart from the world as we walk as children of light. Oftentimes, Christianity is portrayed or caricatured as simply a list of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. Of course, that is true to a degree. There are deeds we should avoid for our own good, but Christianity is even more about the positives, about the positive good things that are to be done by the church. And all of that starts with what Christ has done. Notice how we don't tend to focus on all the things that Jesus didn't do, but instead we talk about all the things that he did do. He is the light. From the cross, his light shines and illuminates an entire world that's crouched in darkness. His light gives meaning to our lives and who we are and what we are to do in this world. On the cross, we see displayed what the vast love and mercy of God actually looks like, and that love and mercy is active. The hymnist Martin Fransman writes, "From the cross, thy wisdom shining, breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light." Jesus didn't just avoid sinning. He actively fulfilled the will of God. He chose to heal. He chose to teach. He chose to call the Pharisees and Sadducees to account. He chose to die so that we would be reconciled to the Father through the forgiveness of our sin. Christ's righteousness was and is an active righteousness. He walked as a child of the light, He discerned what was pleasing to his Father, and he did it for you and for me. And it is this light in which we walk. As you learned the Ten Commandments from Luther's Small Catechism, you may remember that Luther explained each commandment with both a list of things that we are not to do according to the commandment, but also a list of things that we are to do according to the commandment. When in the second commandment we're told not to misuse the name of our Lord, Luther says, what should we do? We should call upon his name in prayer and praise. Or the fifth commandment, when we're commanded not to murder, what should we do? We should take care of our neighbor and see to his needs of body and soul. Or the eighth commandment, where we're not supposed to bear false witness against our neighbor, what should we do? We should delight and lift up our neighbor's name and put the best construction on everything. We delight in these good works because the light of Christ has shone on us and has shown us that such things are good and pleasing to him. We simply walk as children of light. It is true that the darkness of our world seems to be a powerful force, and perhaps it even seems at times to be gaining in strength, yet we have a certain hope. We are assured that the light has overcome the darkness, that the light of Christ is overcoming the darkness, and on the last day, the darkness will be completely overcome, bringing to an end all that is dark in this world, all that is dark in our own hearts. This is the promise of our baptisms, that the light of Christ has shone upon us, and that he will bring us into the eternal light of his glory. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.